Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is our Prophecy Reality Edition. We haven't been here for 4 weeks because of our hot summer days, but I thought, well, it's cooling down. Yesterday was only 98 degrees, nice cool 98 degrees. And that means that in the morning when I get in my studio, like right now, it's only 77 degrees in here. And by the time I get out of here, it'll probably be near 90. But yeah, it just gets too hot when the highs are 108 and the like in the unair-conditioned studio here. So, and I've not been wasting the time doing a lot of study, a lot of research, and a lot of reading, so that I can be ready to go for another year, beginning sometime in September. But I thought I'd show up today because I got an email from a good friend of mine. You all know him if you've been listening to the rebroadcast that I've been doing throughout the summer and taking advantage of running like the last couple years, starting a couple years ago, all the Prophecy Reality broadcasts from 2017. And they're pretty good listening, if I have to say so myself. I go, did I really say all that? I guess I did. Anyway, well, Michael was in the studio then. You all remember Michael. And we still keep in touch. We talk occasionally, and I occasionally get an email from him. And I got one, and he asked me, he says, have you listened to Friday's True News yet? Okay, well, I did listen to Friday's True News, which we rebroadcast Monday. Yesterday on First Amendment Radio, but I did listen to it over the weekend. I took the occasion because, well, I saw the title of it was something about the Mark of the Beast, and so I went there. Let me see, where is that at? Somewhere here I have it opened up. Oh, yeah, here it is. I believe this is it. Yes, Mark of the Beast. When do Christians opt out of biometric ID technology? That's his question there. And so I listened with interest to the show, and he starts out the show like this. I downloaded the transcript. You know, you can download the transcript from a broadcast if you want to. It's pretty easy. You'll figure it out if you really need to do it. But he starts out the broadcast with the question. Let me open the transcript here and put it on the screen so everybody can see it. Where is that transcript at? Here we go. This is it, Untitled 1. And he begins the broadcast like this. He says, question, where have you drawn your line in the sand to opt out of biometric scanning? Stay tuned. We're talking about it on today's edition of True News. He always starts out his broadcast with a question. And then they do 10-15 minutes of news, which is really good. You know, he's Rick has got his formula. He's finally figured it out, that the formula that made his broadcast famous on radio is the only one that's going to work. I don't know if you all went, he had his Praise the Lord set at one time. Remember Praise the Lord on Christian Broadcasting, how much you hated that program, and the host sitting around there with all their makeup on and everything's all flowery and everything. Yeah, he had that set for a while. He ditched it, okay? Because he was losing audience and losing money, of course. And so he decided to go back to his tried and true method of doing his broadcast. So now he has, but he doesn't really do the first 15 minutes of news. It's still good news. And it's a news broadcast, basically. But then the problem is that they don't continue with the news. They don't interview anybody like they used to interview people and whatever. But they just go into, like, it's an hour and a half. So, like, the first 20 minutes is news. Then they bring in the perverted Bible brought to you by, and then they read some weird listener's Bible or something. God, this is all wrong. You know, sure, the Antichrist loves it because the Antichrist, of course, hates any of the Reformation Bibles, the King James and any of them, but King James is the most prominent one. So I can't use that one. So they just kind of it's all wrong anyway. And then they go on for another more than an hour just discussing having their so-called round table, which they just turn into talking heads, basically. And they speculate on stuff for over an hour. So it's not really news. It's just them speculating and being talking heads. But anyway, that was his thing there. And I think I'm going to just jump during the broadcast. Here's what I really thought. Okay, well, this is interesting. Where do you, you know, Mark of the Beast, biometrics? And so they talked about this for over an hour. And it somewhere in the middle, I couldn't find it, but I remember he was traveling or something, and I think he was in Israel or Japan or somewhere in their travels. I don't remember which airport. Or so, and they wanted to do a biometric scan of his hand. And Steve, he says, that's where I drew my line, when I had to use biometrics. And so he thought about it for a minute, and the guy said, well, we're going to have to deport you if you don't do it. So his line disappeared right there, and he let them scan his hand. So his line was artificial. It only existed in his brain, okay? So that was a great disappointment, but listen to the broadcast yourself, and I don't want to listen to it again, but you'll find where he goes through that little episode. And it's funny, he begins the broadcast saying, where's your line in the sand? Then when he comes to his line in the sand, he throws in the towel and he gives them his biometric scan, and so that they won't deport him out of the country and send him back home. I mean, wow, that's conviction. Isn't that conviction? And he also helps to propagate the lie that God is not in the forgiveness business. You see, there are two unforgivable sins according to the Bible. Well, anybody catching me on this? How many unforgivable sins are there in the Bible? Thank you for joining me there in the chat room, Corporate, Aldo, Far Out Studio, that's me in the chat room. Hey, if you're listening live, come on over to the chat room. And if it's not 7:31, that's July 31st this year. And Corporate's got the answer. Corporate in the chat room says one. There's only one unforgivable sin. But in futurist eschatology, there's a new unforgivable sin. And that unforgivable sin is receiving and using the mark of the beast. Or is it just receiving the mark of the beast? So they have two unforgivable sins. The Bible says there's only one. Jesus himself said that everything will be forgiven except for one thing. And that is receiving the mark of the beast. See, I'm kidding again. But no, Rick, upholds this futurist lie that God will not forgive you. Because it says in the Bible that all who receive the mark of the beast will have their part in the lake of fire. And it does say something like that. But it also says this, that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, something's going on here, okay? So if the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and everyone who receives the mark of the beast will be cast into the lake of fire. Well, what's going on? Then everyone is going to be thrown into the lake of fire because, you know, I've never met a person that has never lied. Anybody here? Anybody met a person that has never lied? See what I'm saying? So God, every sin is forgivable. I'm going to take Jesus' word for it, not the futurist and not Rick Wiles' word for it, that you can be forgiven of receiving and using the mark of the beast. Because many people have the mark of the beast. That's right. But they've never engaged in idolatry and worshiping the beast and stuff like that. Because Satan is very slick. You know, he's not going to walk up to you and go, well, this is the mark of the beast. If you don't mind burning in hell forever, but you want to continue doing buying and selling in my fiat usury satanic monetary system, you'll receive it. Your children will starve to death. How will you pay your property taxes? So it's worth burning in hell forever. And go, oh, people going, well, no, I can't do that. This is like Satan's going to walk up to you And so anyone's going to walk. No, they're going to get you into this thing any way they can. And for most of the world, let's admit it, for 90% of the people on the planet, they're already in it, and they don't care. I mean, I got some guy here in the chat room before it rolled up a little bit. He says, oh, this is a Christian tard station. And he called himself God. He logged in as God and goes, this is a Christian tard station. You know, it's supposed to be a put down, like retard or something. Yeah, I feel sorry for him. I pray for that guy, Ben, that he'll come to Christ and he'll have to eat his own words, if he's lucky. If he's lucky, he will repent. Well, if he's blessed, I should say. Luck has nothing to it. But I guess if you're in the world, all you got is luck. Uh-huh. So anyway, that's God does forgive. Otherwise, we would all be going to hell because we've all lied, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So you have to look at that another way too. A liar is a title. All who lie, all who have lied will not have their part in the lake of fire, but all who are liars, that means people who love and live a lie, as we could call them liars, and if they don't repent. And I believe it's the same for the mark of the beast, because he also confuses the issue. Let me bring his transcript back up here. Go to the very end and put the transcript on the screen. You can see that I'm actually looking at the transcript from YouTube. There it is. And he ends the broadcast like this. Here. Technology, it's a full of great commission of these times. We almost have to have some sense of the technology and application of it. Yes, but where is the line in the sand? So he ends his broadcast with the same line in the sand theme. And but where is the line in the sand where I have to say, that's it, I can't go there now? In the past, it would have been, my line would have been, and will you not receive a microchip or a tattoo on me? That's been my line. But that isn't what he said earlier. He said any biometric thing was his line. So now he's going back to his old line, I guess, which is not receiving the a microchip or a tattoo. That's been my line. But he obfuscates, of course, or vacillates here. He says, but now when I see these palm reading machines, that he one like he put his hand on, when I see these palm reading machines, he goes, I'm the mark. My own veins are the mark. Or my veins in my eye are the mark. Or so, are you receiving it by participating in it? So that's really tough for you worshiping the beast by submitting to it. That's another error he makes. And you know, when I see all these errors, I hope and I pray that that Rick Wiles is actually a really genuinely confused person. Because if he's not, then he's a gatekeeper for the Antichrist. And he isn't a gatekeeper for the Antichrist, whether he knows it or not, because he won't identify the Antichrist. He's not a Protestant, because there's no protest in him. His protest is willy-nilly, but not according to the Protestant Reformation or the Word of God. So you can see he's kind of wishy-washy all over the place. But now he's coming out with this in 2019. And he actually, a lot of hoopla, they talk about it for over an hour, but what do you get when you're all done with the broadcast? Well, you get all hyped up and excited, but you get absolutely nothing, because that's what you've learned, absolutely nothing. You walk away and go, oh no, I'm the mark. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm the mark. My head is the mark. My eye is the mark. What can be done? What can be done? And that's where they want you to be. And of course, it's the other thing, like telling you, once you get the mark, that's it. You're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. And there's no hope for you. You can't even repent. It's the unpardonable sin that Jesus forgot to mention, right? Well, Jesus said all manner of sin will be forgiven. And so I'm going to go with Jesus. And the other part of the confusion here is the mode is not the mark. And I guess that's what I ought to title this broadcast. The mode is not the mark. Okay? Now, if anyone read my 2014 book that got published, that's 5 years old, and there's a chapter in here, chapter 12 is called The Mark of the Beast. That's right, The Mark of the Beast. And I talk about everything that he talked about in his little show there, only I give you the real answers. Okay? I don't vacillate on anything. But I do tell you, see, if you'd read my book, or if Rick had actually read my book, or maybe he read it and forgot it because I sent him and everyone on his crew a copy. I believe, I know I definitely sent Rick. I was hoping Rick would interview me in 2014. That's when he was still doing his radio broadcast and interviewing people like Mark Mallett and other Catholics and just egregious, horrible stuff and propagating just terrible stuff. But, you know, that's part of the genre when you're doing a broadcast like what he used to do. But now all the just the horrible stuff's coming out of him and his little crew there. I guess, you know, they're a crowd, so if they stick together, well, they must be right, I guess. So anyway, so if he, like I said, if he'd have read my book, the chapter 12 on the mark of the beast, he would have known that the mode is not the mark. And what does that mean? The mode is not the mark. Well, we've done this before. See, I have a smartphone here, and you can just wave your smartphone to pay. You can use Apple Pay or whatever if you got an iPhone. You can probably use Apple Pay on an Android for all I know. Or you can just give them your number, you know, secretly use a password or something. Or you can use your real ID, whether it's a driver's license or anything that will connect the computer that you're working with. It could be your palm, your hand, if you got that registered, or your iris scan or face recognition on your computer that accesses your password and identifies you with your person, your biometrics, okay, with your mark. And your mark is your identification number. And for everyone on Earth, it's comparable to the Social Security number. Now, they even brought up Aadhaar, and there's a little misinformation sprinkled in there. And so, talking about India and the Aadhaar, that's their biometric ID, and how they have 1.6 or 1.2, I don't know, a billion people, something, because India has a lot of people. And it's mandatory. You have to be marked in China. So some countries it's mandatory, and some countries in America it's not mandatory to have a Social Security number. Now, if you read my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, you would have read about Aadhaar 5 years ago and where exactly they were when I wrote the book and getting everyone numbered, and you would have read about the people who protested. And they went to the Supreme Court. They wanted to participate in the new monetary system without biometrics. That was the case that went before the India Supreme Court. And it says, well, if you want to participate, you have to use the biometrics. That's what it's all about. But they were not required to participate. If you read my book, you would have read that. But also from an article that I quote in my book, it said that would be akin to living in the USA and not using a Social Security number. And that's true. And that's tough, because I've been doing it now for 25 years. And it gets harder all the time. It does not get easier. But the thing is, I'm not a socialist. So you should get my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Read Chapter 12 on the Mark of the Beast and compare it with what Rick and his talking heads say for over an hour. And you'll have some real information, and you'll know how to deal with it. That's what it's all about. And I think maybe I'll read that chapter in the next hour, or in the last hour of this broadcast. I think I can get it into an hour. Or maybe I should just start reading it to make done. So I think when I come back from the first break, I'm going to just read that chapter for you so you can continue working. You don't have to get my book and buy it and read it, or get it free and read it. And by the way, you can get my book free. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Click on the Get the Book tab. Oh, no, free ebook tab, because I'll give you a free e-copy. I don't have a printing press, I'm sorry. So I can't, or free postage, so I can't mail them out. Now, if someone wants to send me $10,000 to mail out free books, I'll start tomorrow. me and my daughter will get right to work on it. I'll even put my grandchildren to work on it when they're here. Okay, so just earmark it. $10,000 to ship out your free ebook. I mean, your free paperback copy. Because I do have a pocketbook edition that's fairly cheap. See, this is a trade publication versus pocketbook edition. You can see they're a little bit cheaper to mail out if I was going to mail them out to people or give them away free to anyone who asks, and set up a campaign on with advertising on the internet free. See, but that takes a lot of money that I don't have. Believe it or not, I don't have a bank account with my name on it anywhere. We do use the law to take care of our little bit of banking that we is required to keep this thing going. But the time is coming where you will not even be able to get on the internet. I know that's coming, without a biometric ID that ties you to the mark of the beast. When the mark of the beast comes, and when it's that, you will know. And that's when God's people, or even before that, God's people will have to withdraw. We'll all become vagabonds. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen in America. It may not here, because America's place in prophecy seems to leave it open in America. Because America is the second beast of Revelation chapter 13. America is the image for America is a two-horned earth beast, a two-horned beast that rises out of the earth. And it has two characteristics that seem to be equal in power and authority, or two horns of power that seem to be equal throughout the existence of the beast. So we're there now. We got this schizophrenic thing going on. I mean, you look at the world around you, because the demonic side speaks as a dragon side, okay, is so loud and croaking so loudly that it seems to be drowning out everything else. But somehow, I still have freedom of speech. Somehow, I'm still able to operate and not required to have a social security number and participate in. So that may be throughout until Christ comes. I only hope so. But that's all I got to go on, is God's word. Okay, well, I'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll take a look at the mark of the beast.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're talking about the mode is not the mark, because Rick Wiles said on his last Friday broadcast, I found out what he said here. He said, if anybody receives the mark of the beast, he shall be cast into the lake of fire. Right, this is unpardonable sin. You cannot be forgiven. And I've heard some preachers say that you can be forgiven. No, you cannot. Yeah, because they tie in the, you know, receiving the mark of the, with worship of the beast. And they said, well, if you haven't worshipped the beast, then the mark doesn't make a difference. But I'm of the other opinion, in that if you've received the mark of the beast, you're already worshiping the beast. That's right, you're conforming to the image of the beast and worshiping the beast and its image. I mean, this is really idolatry. Yes, and there's going to be judgment, swift judgment on idolatry. And so the question we're asking here is today is, what is your line in the sand for you personally? And I'm not going to put any judgment on you. I'm still wrestling with this, because technology, it's a full of great commission. This is from the YouTube transcript. Of these times, we must have some sense of technology and application. It is, yes, but where is the line in the sand? We have to say, that's it. I can't go there now. In the past, it would have been, my line would have been, I will not, you know, receive a microchip or tattoo on me. That's been my line. But now when I see these palm reading machines, I'm the mark. My own veins are the mark, or my veins and my eye are the mark. So are you receiving it by participating in it? So that's really tough for you, worshiping the beast by submitting to it, right? And this is what, blah, and on and on and on he goes. Yes, I wonder if that's how he's writing his book. When people speak live, a lot of incoherent stuff comes out, but it's in the moment. But there you go. It's like, what? And you can get the transcript from that video by going to the video itself, and underneath in the information section, there's three dots. You press on those and you can open up the transcript and copy it. And it has a time point, so you can go to where he says in the video those things. I mean, he could probably do that right now. Let it be in his own words. Maybe I should have done that. I should have it together, man. Yes, indeed. How do you do that? If I get him to say it himself. Well, while my computer works on that, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually open up and share with you some pertinent information on the mark of the beast that's not so confusing and not so incoherent as, because according to Rick, he had a line in the sand. He crossed it when push came to shove. If he has the mark of the beast, he's already dead, because he's of the other opinion. He says that you can't be forgiven of it. So that must mean that he believes he has not received the mark of the beast yet. But he makes the same mistake that most of the futurists make, and that is that the mode is the mark, but the mode is not the mark. I'm not identified by a phone, a microchip, a tattoo, a coffee cup, a real ID card, or secretly writing in a password. None of those things identify me. but they're the mode to access my identification, and my biometrics confirms that's me that has been marked with that number for the purposes of buying and selling. So the mode is not the mark. The mode is only the access to the mark. Okay? So don't make a mistake. I mean, someone can have a microchip. They might need it for work. Or they all soldiers, I believe, they microchip them all so they can identify them in the battlefield in case they get dead or something. But that doesn't mean they have a mark of a beast, you know, because that mark, but we all have a mark of a beast. Let's see, do I have any marks of a beast? Well, I used to have a driver's license, and California is a beast. It's a government, and they identified me. I had an identification, because that's all a mark is. It's an identification number. But the question is the mark that you have, which is the Social Security number, because that's where I drew my line, see? I was already participating. Thank God he forgave me for participating in socialism. I received benefits from theft. I received stolen property. That's right, from the government. They stole it from my neighbor. I was participating in what the Bible explicitly says, do not do. And I had to have a beast identification number to do that. That's called a mark of a beast. I had a mark of a beast to participate in socialism, but I have repented. And I withdrew about 25 years ago. Okay? And since then, I've just been cutting everything off. So that now I have nothing with the mark of the beast that ties directly to me personally, that identifies this biometric. Okay? So I can walk by scanners. They can scan by my palm and they will not find me. They'll say, this guy's not one of ours because he's not marked. Okay? And even if they somehow did mark me, you know, because I'm sure, you know, when I had a driver's license, they took my picture a long time ago. And I'm sure they could have scanned that in and used face recognition technology to mark me biometrically. Now, the old way to mark someone biometrically was to get them to voluntarily access the information in their brain to write down their number or their password and to keep it from everyone else to access their account. So it's always been tied to your biometrics. We just now have technology that gives us more methods of biometric tying to our more biometric modes to access our mark of the beast. That's it. Anyway, my 2014 book, The Rapture, will be canceled. Okay, you can get that free. You can get an e-copy free by going to my website, like I said, crosstheborder.org. Click on the free ebook tab there and just share. And then ask for a copy. Just look at the comments there and you'll see how it's done. Instructions are pretty plain and simple. I just ask you to share. First, subscribe to my blog and then share on your, call your mom. Say, Mom, hey, check this out, or your best friend, or shout over the fence at your neighbor, or go on your Twitter, or your blog, or your whatever, Facebook, whatever you got, share it somehow. Share it with your dog, I don't care. I'll take your word for it. You know, why would you lie? Yeah. You know? So that's all I ask you, share it with someone, hopefully someone who can understand what you're saying, and then subscribe to my blog. And after you do those two things, because I get a notice if you subscribe to my blog, and then I'll send you a free e-copy of the book, okay? All right, so make sure you take care of that. Anyway, my article starts out like this. Chapter 12 of the book, the September 8, 1988 issue of The Economist magazine, and it wasn't September, it was actually January, I believe it's January, so a little faux pas there. Economist magazine had emblazoned on its cover, "Get ready for a world currency." Okay? And they said in 30 years. Well, 30 years, that was last year. They're almost there. They're getting there. You know, I think they're going to need at least until, I think they're going to need another 12 years. And, you know, man's not very good at prognosticating, but the trajectory is still in the right direction. The title of the article, "Get Ready for the Phoenix," begins 30 years from now. Americans, Japanese, Europeans, and people in many other rich countries and some relatively poor ones will be paying for their shopping with the same currency. Prices will be quoted not in dollars, yen, or D-marks, but in, let's say, the Phoenix. The Phoenix will be favored by companies and shoppers because it will be more convenient than today's national currencies, which by then will seem a quaint cause of much disruption to economic life in the last 20th century. At the beginning of 1988, this appears to be an outlandish prediction. And see, the Phoenix, of course, you see the digital Phoenix currency here, rising out of the ashes of, yes, out of the flames of paper currency. I still use paper currency every time I go out, which is not every day. I don't get out much. But when I do go out, I try to use this paper currency all the time. And right now, it's actually just as fast or faster than all of the other payment methods that people are using. As a matter of fact, I get held up more by people using cards and they can't, or this card doesn't work in this reader or whatever. And I just whip out my cash and pay for stuff. But that's neither here nor there. The author's quaint cause of much disruption, which began about 2008, remains a growing and harsh reality that is systematically destroying national economies around the globe. And it does. It continues on. Because we're now entering this digital age of money where we're still using real money rules. Okay? But part of throwing out the real money rules is throwing out interest rates, and that's why you have now negative interest rates on your bank accounts. Now, you may think you're getting a half of a percent, but actually it's negative because inflation is taking more than your interest rate is paying. And guess what? Just to think, you get to pay income taxes on the 5% that you're supposedly making while you're losing more than that right now. And the loss by inflation is accelerating exponentially. Now, everyone knows it. It's no secret. I mean, you know, in the 1960s, the bottom dollar car that you're paying $25,000 now for was $2,500. And the bottom dollar cars were like $1,200 or $1,600 for a new car. That's right. Back in the early 60s, because I remember my dad was complaining, and I would hear or watch commercials, and they'd say they'd have like a new truck or a new car, and it'd be $12.95. And here I'm thinking $12.95 because I'm a stupid child, you know. But it was $12.95. That's $1,295, and that was the price of an automobile then. So like now it's like what, 10 times? You know, that's 1,000% in 50 years, man. That's inflation for you. So and somehow they exclude things or whatever they're doing to say that it's still only 3% per year. But even year after year, 3% adds up because you're compounding it every year. So are we surprised, you know, that we've had 1,000% inflation over a 50-year period? We have. I mean, you know, I was at the airport the other day. I don't get to go in past the check-in thing to pick up my daughter who has a passport, who was able to get a passport without a Social Security number. I was not, though, because, you know, I might be made of a bomb material. And just by being on the plane, it was threatened. So just by my very presence, I'm very powerful. You wouldn't believe it by looking at me. But planes could blow up just because I'm there or something. Whatever, anyway, I'm too big of a threat to go through the security at the airport. But anyway, I was outside as I walked out, and outside to just because I knew my daughter's plane was coming in, so I could watch it fly in. And there was a guy who obviously worked at the airport. They step outside for a cigarette break. So the guy's out there behind me smoking. I'm smelling the smoke, catching a whiff of it once in a while. It doesn't bother me. Kind of like the smell of it, but you know, it's been a long time since I smoked. And I said, "Oh, that's a bad habit. You ought to give it up." You know. He says, "Yeah, I know. It's very expensive." I says, "Well, you know, I smoked for 17 years, because I did, from the time I was 13 till I was 30 when I finally gave it up." And I says, "Oh, well, it wasn't the expense wasn't the thing when I quit, because I think cigarettes were like, if I remember correctly, 39 cents a pack, and I think they're like $10 or something now. I don't have any idea what they cost now, but you know, probably $5 to $10 somewhere in there." So that, just the inflation, the reality of it, that's the real thing. And so you see Venezuela and other economies crashing around the world because the old world rules. See, they don't have the power in Venezuela that America has. I mean, we can have quantitative easing here and conjure up, you know, $1 trillion here and $1 trillion there. Well, Venezuela and a lot of these other small states can't do that because they don't own the Federal Reserve, basically. Well, we don't own it either, but in a way we do, because it's taken over our treasury. And so these things that are happening in other countries where their economies are failing, well, it's going to happen. They want it to happen. They're accelerating it, and hyperinflation is starting to kick in, because now, you know, where it took 50 years to get 1,000%, well, what if we have 1,000% in the next 5 years? Well, I predict that we will have 1,000% in the next 5 years. You see where I'm going? It took 50 years to get 1,000% just on the price of an automobile, approximately speaking. But we're going to have 1,000% in the next 5 years on the world's reserve currency. That is the United States, the Federal Reserve note, not the United States note, but the Federal U.S. Treasury Federal Reserve note. Yeah, that's the world reserve currency. And when that happens, what happened in Venezuela and other economies around the world, it happened in Greece and other places. When it happens in America, it will happen to the whole world. And that will bring an end to old money rules being applied to new money, because we don't have real money anymore. See, you needed interest rates, and you needed to earn interest on your money when money was real. When it was gold and silver, when it was backed by something real, you deserved interest because you had something real. But now we don't have real money. Those rules don't apply anymore. It's just like the income tax. I don't think they'll ever get rid of the income tax. They love this game. Now, in the real money world, taxes were important, okay? Because the governments had to run on real money. And they had to get that real money from people, okay? But now that the government can just spend all the money it wants, there's no need to tax anybody for anything. See, everyone, the government ought to just be able to print money for the services that it necessarily provides, and that money is spent out into the economy. And when more than 50% of the people work for the government, as they do now, you know, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's ridiculous. You have school teachers and other government people on the government dole, okay? Whatever way you're on the government dole. And they hold back part of their income as, oh, we're going to withhold. Well, why not just lower their, and just, why have them go through all that pain? And what's the point? Nothing is more fair than an inflation tax, a money printing tax. Because every time they print more money, every time they increase the money supply. So I guess the whole thing about the government is keeping the money supply from increasing would would definitely, you know, keep inflation. And I'm not even reading the book, and I've got it on the screen there. But, well, these are things we need to talk about. Inflation is increases when you have more money chasing the same amount of goods. So, you know, I guess the only way to get that done is to have people pay things off. And I don't know, they need new rules, and they're going to come up with new rules. But like I said, I don't think they'll ever get rid of the taxes, especially the income tax, property taxes, things like that, because nobody can lose if they don't, if they get rid of those things, and they have to have losers. They've got to have a way of taking it back. So you see the problem there. But it's ridiculous. If actually, if there was no income tax, everyone would be taxed fairly on every dollar, would decrease in the same amount and same value. Rich people would pay more because they have more to pay with. So if you have $100 and you're losing 10% to the government, well, you have 90 left, right? If you have $10 and you're losing 10% to the government, you have 9 left. So poor people pay less because they have less. So anyway, getting off the track here. Anyway, the cashless society is almost here, and with some very sinister implications. A November 2012 Patrick Henningsen article, so titled, "In the Midst of Our Growing Financial Crisis Begins," among the long list of items bundled by consensus reality merchants under the banner of conspiracy theory is a world without cash, where technocrats rule over the populace and everything and anything is exchanged via plastic and RFID chips, he continues. On what few counted on, however, was how the final push would take place and why. Some will be surprised by these new emerging mechanisms." And that's what we're talking about, the mode, the mechanisms. Okay, "and the political and sinister implications they will immediately, ultimately lead to." And the author posits, "Every revolution needs a good crisis in order to germinate its seed. The cashless revolution is no different. It should be abundantly clear by now that the global financial meltdown has been engineered at every juncture of its unfolding by the very private central banks who expand and contract the money supply. A dollar or euro collapse will trigger a global economic crisis, which is a prime opportunity to introduce the next phase." And what is this next phase? Well, one, he talks about, of course, he says, the global banking cabals and that are behind the scenes. Very private central banks. But, you know, we read the book. We read the end of the book, that is the Bible, and we realize that the Antichrist, okay, whom Protestants have known for 500 years who the Antichrist is, evangelicals forgot that they were Protestants, they forgot there was a protest, and they bought into counter-reformation eschatology, so they don't know who the Antichrist is anymore because they've been told they can't know. So they believe what they've been told. Not by the Bible, but, you know, by the Counter-Reformation teaching that's out there. Okay? But the Antichrist does control the money right now. Okay? Through his shadow government. Yes, and we've gone through the shadow government. We talk how the shadow government began to be built about 500 years ago, too. It had its very beginning. And to get total control of the world for the Antichrist, you would need many, many hundreds of years to get into everything and make sure that you have full control of everything. And anyway, we'll come on a break and we'll continue this monologue unless you want to join the discussion. There's a chat room and you can also call in and try to call it immediately when we come back from the break. But you listen Across the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're talking about the Mark of the Beast and a Rick Wiles broadcast that came on last Friday, where he talks about biometric. And he ends the broadcast saying things like, where was that at? Yes. He says, I'm the mark. That's what he says. He says, I am the mark. My own veins are the mark. Or my veins and my eye are the mark. So are you receiving it by participating in it? And he has no answers for you whatsoever. But I had the answers written down for you 5 years ago in my book. And chapter 12 of my book, In the Rapture, will be canceled after you learn about the rapture versus the resurrection controversy. You might want to learn about the Mark of the Beast since you are going to be here. Now, Rick Wiles does have one thing right. He says that there's no pre-tribulation rapture, but there's no raptures at all. And I predict in my book, you can see that the rapture will be canceled, or my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built, when they start building a third temple type building over there, you'll know that 7 years will likely go by, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, 20 years will likely go by before Christ comes. And no one will be raptured at any point in their 7-year tribulation. Deception. That's what I call it, the tribulation, 7-year tribulation deception, because that's exactly what it is. So, I'm the mark. Oh, no. No, the mode is not the mark. The mechanism is not the mark. The mark is a number that the government uses it to identify you for buying and selling. Now, I drew my line in the sand 25 years ago, and my line in the sand had already been crossed. And the line in the sand was this. When the government, a beast, requires me to get an identification, a mark, in order to buy and sell, then I have to balk. I have to step back and say, this is a beast that's given me a mark. that I need to buy and sell. And that's exactly what it says in chapter 13 of the Revelation. The mark, the identification of a beast to buy and sell. So that's what I need to stay away from. A government issue. Now, if I had a bank account, that was fine because that wasn't the government. But now the government's having one, the Federal Reserve, which is owned by the same people that own the money, which is really, as we know, the Antichrist, because the Bible says so, that the Antichrist controls the money, not directly. You know, the Antichrist, the man of sin, is a figurehead, but it's his anti-Christian church and his anti-Christian counter-reformation shadow government that actually controls everything, including the fiat usury money. And so we know it's Satan's monetary system. They all work for Satan. They all work for the dragon. They all get their power from the dragon. So we know that they control the money now. We weren't going around, sitting around like the futurists going, well, I can't know who it is. I can't know it. We can't be the mark of the beast now because the man of sin has to be revealed first. And then the seven-year tribulation deception will start. Then, but I won't be here, so it won't matter to me. Because I'm going to be raptured away before anything bad happens or before I have to struggle. Meanwhile, they're all walking around with government, beast, marks, identifications that they need to buy and sell. That was my line in the sand. And that's why I crossed over it and said, oh, I was on the wrong side of that line. And so I repented of participating in socialism because the only reason you sign up for socialism is to take advantage of the benefits. But most people didn't do that. Because I remember when I went down to get a Social Security number, and I was a young man of 17 or 18, and I wanted to get a job. And they said, oh, you got to have one of these numbers. You need a Social Security card. So I went down and I applied for a Social Security card, and voila, they already had an account for me. Oh, here, we'll give you a number. Here's your number, here's your card. I didn't want benefits. I didn't want welfare. But in a way, that's what they were giving me. They were giving me the benefit of working in their employer-employee work system, employment system. That's a benefit. It is a benefit. Now, it's not a pseudo-charitable benefit because you're not getting anything for free. You have to work for it. But they've taken over charity too, and that caused pseudo-charity because it's not really charity. They've robbed us of our charity. That's right. So I signed up for benefits, and the benefits were, well, we're going to keep part of your money. And in other words, we're going to manage your affairs for you, and you're going to give us whatever we tell you that you have to give us to continue, because that's the agreement. Okay? So I signed up for benefits. And occasionally I would take the benefits. I would be out of work. Oh, go down. You deserve it. You paid into it. You might as well get out. Is it working that way now? Now they're creating money out of thin air now. They say they're robbing the future generations, but if the income taxes that they're collecting don't pay the bills already, then they're just robbing everybody on earth by printing more money. And so they're robbing everybody. But that's why God said that he hated, you know, a fiat usury money, an unjust weight and balance. So I drew my line in the sand, and I've crossed over, and I untied myself completely as I could from that system. Oh, they still have a number and an account with a name similar to mine. It's all caps. And of course, it's a fiction that they created, and it's not my number. And the truth is, it's not yours either, because it's not yours unless you own it, so therefore they own the number. You can't sell it, can you? No, you would be breaking the law if you sold your Social Security number to someone else. So you can't sell what doesn't belong to you. So in reality, it's not your number, and it's not mine. Unless I believe it is, unless I claim it's mine, then it is. But see, that's where I've repented of use, because you can't go to the beast and say, I want out. And they don't say, they tell you, what they tell you is, oh, too late, there's no way out. If you collected a dime of any time in your life, you're in and you belong to us forever. No, you can repent, because God is in the forgiveness business. You don't need the beast. The devil is not, you can't go to the devil and repent for beating your wife, for robbing your neighbor, for whatever, participating in licentiousness. You can't go to the devil and get forgiveness, okay? Because the devil's going to say, nah, you can't let you go. I got a bunch of fake preachers out there you can go to who will make you feel good. The devil will send you to those. But if you're really persistent, he'll send you to his anti-Christian apostates first to see if he can get you to feel good about not really participating in true religion and repentance. Okay. And I'm talking about the kind of true religion that James was talking about, that the writers of the epistles were talking about, that Jesus was talking about, true repentance. That's true religion. See, the beast will help you with anything but that. But you can't go to the beast. There's guys out there selling paperwork. They're going to get you out of the system. You got to fill out the forms and notify everybody. Well, you can do that anyway. You know, you can say, I'm no longer part of it. They don't care. They're still going to keep you on their records, on their books, in their digital databases. They're not going to let you go. The only one that repentance matters to is God. You know, what did David say? After he killed Uriah the Hittite, after first he commits adultery with his wife and then he kills him, you know, what did David say? Against thee only have I sinned. He's talking to God. Against thee only have I sinned. Our sin is against God. We violated his law, not anybody else's. We violated other people, yes. All of us have violated someone, whether it's just in our own minds or we've actually done it. We've stolen, robbed, whatever, or done worse things, or not. You know, I mean, if you've participated in socialism, if you've received benefits, you've robbed your neighbor. You know, if you're out there taking or stealing whatever you can by whatever legal means are available to commit theft, because there are a lot of legal means to commit theft. You've sinned, and you've sinned against God, against thee alone. So his forgiveness is the only forgiveness that matters. And I've repented over and over, and you know, I still repent all the time. And I don't repent because I'm lost or because I need to be saved again. I repent because I'm being renewed. I'm being conformed to the image of God. That's why I continue to repent, because I want to please God with my life. And so leaving things behind like socialism and participating in the mark of the beast, when the big change comes, and that's where we were getting to, we're talking about the failure of the systems, when the next big thing happens, When the world reserve currency, which mainly is the U.S. dollar, secondarily would be the euro, but when the euro, when one or both of those collapse, that's when we will have our huge changeover to a one world, and I believe the mandatory mark of the beast to participate, and I believe they will get rid of cash altogether. That's where they're headed. There's no way about that. Then God's people will have to opt out. Now, I hope Rick will, you know, see that line and not cross over. Rick Wiles, of course, who, if you go listen to his last broadcast, he set his line in the sand. He said, I will never use biometrics. But then when push came to shove, he admits on the broadcast that they're not going to let me stay in Japan or wherever he was. They're going to deport me if I don't do this. So he went, oh, he put his hand on the palm reader, and they scanned him biometrically. That's right. They didn't have any. They have a copy now, and I'm sure it's matriculating throughout the whole beast system already. Just once is all it takes. Like I said, I'm sure they've gotten my face from my digital driver's license that I got back in the 1990s. Okay? That's the last time. And also the passport I had back in the 1990s that I got without a social security number. They won't give me one now. They said, you must have a social security number. No soup for you. You know, it's the social, the passport Nazis said, no soup for you. Right? So, no soup for me. So I can't get on a plane. I can't fly across the country. I could, I can still go by automobile, but I don't have a driver's license, but I don't care anyway. All they're going to do is stop me, and it's about as much hassle as you getting a ticket, really, so far. But I'm sure the time when the changeover comes, you know, maybe they'll arrest me and throw me in jail. Maybe they won't. Maybe America will be the only place on earth where I can survive with some liberty. But you got these progressives out there, they're working really hard to take what little bit of liberty we have left and squeeze it out of the Constitution and the law in America. Oh, they want it so bad because they, you know, they think it's going to be free. They think freedom is free stuff to them. But, you know, we have so many examples of where it leads that it's hard. So I just hope that we can stay the course with our, in our schizophrenic government with those two horns, the one that's lamb-like and the other one that speaks as a dragon. And even though the dragon-speaking one is loud and vociferous and keeps croaking louder and louder and louder, I'm hoping that we can still keep him at bay with that other horn that's lamb-like. And I'm part of that horn. And that's why I'm out here using cash and refusing to get to participate in the Mark of the Beast. I repented of that. I cannot, like a dog, go back to the vomit. No matter what the cost, I will not. They could drag me kicking and screaming. You know, it may happen. Who knows? I don't really care. They could take me and put me on the guillotine and chop my head off. That would be nice. To have it over that fast, because I'm going to die, I'm going to die anyway. I would rather have that happen than to die slowly in my bed, suffering in pain, you know, for years and years or even months. I would rather lay down my life for the gospel. Yes, that's the truth, and you can hold me to that, heaven. That I would rather do. So anybody out there want to join me? It's not easy. It's not going to be easy, that's for sure. I'm also looking for some other voices to join us in First Amendment Radio before it goes off the air. I think we ought to have our own news roundtable at least once a week. We can do this on Skype, me and you and maybe another person, once a week, do an hour or two broadcast just to discuss things like this and to talk about news, maybe give TRU, Almost True News, some competition. Almost true. Not quite true, not T-R-U-E. That's what we call it, True News with an E. True with an E News, yeah, T-R-U-E News. Hey, that's pretty good, T-R-U-E News. That's, yeah, we're going to give it all to you. We're not going to hold back anything. Anyway, I'm hoping that Rick Wiles will watch this broadcast. Maybe he'll learn something. Just remember, Rick, the Antichrist is alive and well. He's been identified for 500 years. The man of sin, okay? There's only one man of sin. You go, oh, there are many Antichrists. The Bible says this, but there's only one man of sin. And it's a lineage, though. It's a line of men that fill the seat of the man of sin, okay? So, and he sits in the temple of God. And the temple of God is God's people. The temple of God is the church. Because, see, before Paul wrote that, he made it crystal clear what he meant by the temple of God. Crystal clear. And I cover that in my book, my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built. Okay? Now, there's a special, you can get both of these, When the Third Temple is Built, and the rapture will be canceled, right? You can get them both in pocketbook edition. There's a special on the Get the Book page. Just scroll down until you see the two book special. Or, like I said, you can get them one at a time by going to the free ebook tab and requesting When the Third Temple is Built. or the rapture will be canceled. If you don't request one or the other, you will get when the rapture will be canceled. That's the default if you don't request something else. Okay, hope everybody's got that. Now let me check the chat room here. We're going to go into a break in a few minutes. And let me check the chat room, see if we get any comments or questions. And I want to thank the half a dozen handful of people that showed up for the broadcast. I send out almost 2,000 notices, and 6 people show up. Real popular here. Let's see. Okay, talking about homosexuality, yeah, the croaking frogs are croaking. And yeah, that's just one another sin. You got the deadly sins. There's adultery, bestiality, and sodomy. Those are the ones that deserve the death penalty according to the Word of God. Jesus said, hey, they're all forgivable. So thank God for the age of grace. Because we can be forgiven of every sin except for receiving the mark of the beast, according to Rick Wiles and other futurists out there. Rick Wiles just needs to totally let go of the futurism. He needs to actually read my books. He should read the last one, when the third temple was built, you know. And then he'll learn that all of this Zionism is an Antichrist shadow government operation. That's all it is. This is what the shadow government, the Antichrist, Zionism is a shadow government psyop for the Antichrist. That's all it is. So that they can do this play. I mean, they want to do this play really bad. And that's all right. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's the unforgivable sin. But what exactly does that mean? Okay, what is the first work of the Holy Spirit in any man's life? Yeah. Well, the first work, when the Holy Spirit starts to work in you, he starts to convict you of sin. And if you refuse to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of your sin, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You cannot be forgiven. But what if you stop blaspheming the Spirit? Now, they've had websites and challenges from some pagan idiots out there going to, if you say certain things, you know, you have to blaspheme it with your mouth. You know, I'm not sure it's that strict that there's a verbal formula for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I think it goes to a spiritual. It is that there's a spiritual level that you could reach and not be forgiven for. I don't think it comes down to saying certain words, because there's a lot of idiotic people out there who've done this, taken these challenges and stuff, to think that they'd be lost forever for repeating stupid words. Doesn't sound like the God I know. But, you know, I wouldn't take any chances. If anyone challenges you to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you know, just run as fast as you can, I guess. Or tell them, you know, they're idiots and that you would never do that. Because you want to have some kind of hope for salvation someday, you know. So, I mean, we could debate for hours with the blaspheming the Holy Spirit, but not allow it. Because without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there's no salvation. So if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work repentance in you, then you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I think on the spiritual level, that's what it is. And some people will never do that. Yeah. Corporate says, I believe that this is the denial of the Holy Spirit after knowing the truth of the Spirit's existence. So I believe if you're confronted with the Holy Spirit wants you, because the Holy Spirit probably convicts a lot of people of sin that don't repent. So they're resisting the Holy Spirit for there, but is that unforgiveness? Because I've resisted the Holy Spirit in my past, but I finally gave in. You know, so I think it's a continual, you know, a continual denial of the work of the Holy Spirit on repentance. Because I got to admit, I was a hard case. You know, it took a long time for the Holy Spirit to break through me. I willingly admit that. So if blaspheming the Holy Spirit has to be much deeper. I'm glad God did not give up on me. Because I resisted hard. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have. I think it's because it's in our very nature to resist repentance. I mean, my goodness, I'm not a bad person. Certainly God won't keep me out of heaven. You know, everybody sins, right? But that hard work of repentance, that's the work that needs to be done in every single one of us. And it doesn't stop once you get on the road of repentance, the narrow way that leads to life. You have to stay there and you can't get off. And if you do get off, well, you better get back on track as fast as you can. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border or watching it on YouTube. As a Prophecy Reality Edition, we're talking about the Mark of the Beast. The Mark of the Beast monetary system is Satan's money and antithetical to biblical financial principles. This is 2014 book, the chapter on the Mark of the Beast there. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. It is also the foundation of Satan's monetary system. Money without commodity or substance. Now, what if you had a monetary system where all this money was created by usury out of thin air? When we weigh our present-day monetary system in the light of God's Word, it becomes easy to determine that the fiat usury money we have today is not God's money, but Satan's. It is therefore only logical that the final Mark of the Beast system will incorporate these evils at an unprecedented level. The introduction of a totally digital currency will be the pinnacle of these satanic principles in practice. Upon the introduction of the final Mark of the Beast financial system, I believe we will see a creeping enforcement that will quickly outlaw every form of financial exchange outside the digital mark system. Because I have practiced living without the New World Social Order numbering system for 25 years now, I have experienced this creeping exclusion from financial system privileges such as banking and borrowing, credit or debit cards, and commercial as well as driver's licensing, to name a few. This process will be exacerbated upon the introduction of the final digital mark system, even to the exclusion of paying property taxes. As practiced during the inquisitions of history, the property of heretics, according to the Antichrist, that would be me, and hopefully you, the property of heretics, those who will then not comply with the New World Social Economic Order, will again be confiscated, but by the state for non-payment of taxes. Save. That's from my 2014 book. Okay, I write, most people of the world will transition into the Mark of the Beast system without a whimper, as they are already idolaters and worshippers of Satan, at least in practice, if not overtly, and they will quickly turn on those who will not comply. Though they may escape the wrath of the powers that be, they will not escape the wrath of God, whose wrath will have eternal consequences. Those righteous who overcome or get victory over the beast's image and mark, I mean, how do you get the victory over something unless it had the victory over you at one time? We have to overcome it. There is forgiveness. You can withdraw from the system if you're in it, but count the cost. You know, will you, like Rick Wiles, go, oh, well, I don't want to have to be deported back home. Oh, here, take my palm reading. You know, do it. Will your line be crossed? But that's not really the line. So, you know, Rick's okay. He can find the real line. And he can come back over to the other side of it. Because I believe that all of the elect at this point, when the final system comes, when we have our great crisis that's going to bring it on, because that's what they do. Order out of chaos. They have a crisis, and then they have, you know, they let no crisis go to waste, you know. So they're planning a crisis. But I think they're just going to keep feeding with this, quantitative easing. That's what they call it. They're going to keep using quantitative easing. And you notice how the spigots just get bigger and bigger, and it's coming faster and faster. Like Donald Trump says, you know, spent more money, but he has no choice. He's not really in control. Not of the money. He's the king of debt. He was the king of debt. And bankruptcy before he became president. Everybody knew it. He was the right guy to do this. You know, to use quantitative easing like it's never been used before. But when you can print all the money you want, and it's not real money anyway, it's just digits and paper notes, and there's nothing backing it, what does it matter? Who are you borrowing it from, really? Nobody. You're borrowing it from your neighbors. You're borrowing it from everyone on earth whose money is diminished when every time they print another one. You know? Every time they print more, everybody has to pay into the new pot that's printed by the devaluation of the pot they have already. So, the rules are changing. Those righteous who overcome or get victory over the beast, image, and mark will likely do so at the peril of their mortal lives, which lives they accept as perishing anyway. Rather than having their eyes set on the prize of rather having their eyes set upon the prize of eternal life through Jesus the Messiah and Redeemer of mankind. The primary attribute of those who overcome the mark of the beast is that they keep the commandments of God. And you know, that's what it's all, I mean, I wouldn't bother if I did not know that socialism is idolatry. Socialism is theft. Socialism is covetousness. That's what socialism is. And that's why I had to repent of it and withdraw from it when I saw everything that I wrote in this chapter. And, you know, it's just one short chapter. You should get my book and read it. Maybe I ought to just print this chapter. Maybe I'll do this chapter as a standalone on my blog. Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. I think I'll just publish this chapter and I'll send it to Rick Wiles along with this broadcast. I'll publish them together, this broadcast and this chapter, so you can read it, because I'm just hitting certain parts of it. So that's the primary attribute of those who overcome the mark of the beast. And I'm overcoming the mark of the beast, I have to admit, because I was in it. I had a mark. I had a number. I participated in socialism. I participated in covetousness. I wanted everything I could get for free when I was in that system, taking advantage of it. When I was playing the Mark of the Beast game, the socialist security game, I was in it, I had my number, I was playing. And I wanted every penny. When they laid me off from a job, I'd go out there and I'd want every, and I would milk it for all I could get. I was covetous. But I've repented. And I'm no longer. I want nothing from them. Ever. As long as I live till I breathe my last breath, I have repented, and I will never, like the dog, go back to its vomit. They keep the commandments of God. That's the primary attribute of those who overcome the mark of the beast, is that they keep the commandments of God. The sad fact that the corporate, in bed with the state church, has taught the commandments of God were nailed to the cross, will leave many of these corporation, church, and nominal Christians totally unprepared to recognize or effectively stand against the mark of the beast. They have been told that God's law was only for the Jews back then, and we do not have to carry that heavy burden. And see, that's how they resist the Holy Ghost. They tell the Holy Ghost, I'm not under that law. So you can't convict me about that. Depart from me, Satan. They're going to accuse the Holy Ghost of being Satan. Satan's just trying to make me feel guilty. I don't know, man. If why not repent? Is Satan really calling you to repent? I don't think so. You know? Does God really want you to live a better life and not participate in covetousness and theft? Think about that. But they keep the commandments of God. And you know, this is a quote from the Bible. They keep the commandments of God. That's it. And that's one of those attributes. What is it? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So, you could not get the financial mark, but if you're over there worshiping Mary statues, that's a mark of the beast. You worship the beast, or the number of his name, or you have the mark. The mark of the beast has been present throughout history. When you understand prophecy, the true meaning of prophecy, you understand that. The mark of the beast and the name of the beast and the number of his name, 666, are not all the same thing as most people believe. The number of his name, 666, is for us to identify the head of the beast that received the wound by the sword and did live, because it is the number of a man. Or succinctly, the position that is filled by a man. I believe that we have successfully identified both of the Revelation 13 beasts and this wounded head in our prior chapters. You have to get the book. The mark of the beast is to identify the people that belong to the beast in this final era. The shocking truth is that the Bible does not require that this final era be confined to a mere 7 or 3.5 year period of time. It is only shocking because most people, especially Christians, have been taken in by the great prophecy delusion and its 7 year tribulation deception, which are part of the Counter-Reformation. In 2009, India began its UID program to biometrically ID its 1.2 billion citizens, one-sixth of the world population. They hope to have 600 million enrolled by the end of 2014. That was the year I wrote this book. And to be able to enroll another 1 million per day about the same time. This means, if all goes well, that it will take at least 2 additional years to number the remaining 600 million citizens. So they needed at least until 2016 or 17 to enroll everyone that would allow it. The technological problems may pale compared to the potential civil liberties. And anti-Aadhaar protesters showed up at Neil Kani's January speech at the National Institute of Advanced Studies. Several anti-Aadhaar websites have sprung up. And members of parliament and prominent intellectuals have criticized the whole idea. A Christian sect even denounced it as a cover for introducing the number of the beast. Technically, Aadhaar is voluntary. No one is obliged to get scanned into the system. And Rick forgot to tell you about that. But that's like saying no American is obliged to get a Social Security number. In practice, once the Aadhaar system really takes hold, it will be extremely difficult for anyone to function without being part of it. And we go on, according to China Daily, over 1.1 billion have already received their biometric ID cards. And that was as of January 2013. So we got 3 billion people almost already, more than that, probably half. Well, if you count, that's biometric, okay? But probably 90% of the people on Earth already have a number of the beast. They just haven't been biometrically marked. But when it finally comes, and it's required everywhere or universally, that will be after the failure of the world reserve currency. And you can see that failure is beginning now. Like I said, we've had 1,000% inflation since the 1960s in the last 50 years. Let's just put it that way. In 50 years, we've had 1,000% inflation. Not daily, annual, whatever, compounded, but as a 50-year period. Things have gone up 10 times. Everything's gone up at least 10 times, if not more, in dollar-denominated values. That's over 1,000% inflation. And I believe we're going to see over 1,000% inflation in the next 5 years. And when we see that, I believe that it will go into hyperinflation. Once it begins, they can't stop it. It's like that roller coaster, you know, that you can't put the brakes on this thing, man. That snowball effect applies to this because we've seen it over and over in history. And the snowball is just starting to roll now. I mean, it's like just starting to go over the precipice. Because the further it goes, the steeper it gets, the faster it goes. And that's what's going to happen. And when the recovery from that is going to be every promise and pipe dream that the Antichrist shadow government bankers can do. And everybody's going to be in love with it. Most of the world, like I said, most people already worship the beast, the dragon, its image or something. Already, they're all in. Most of the world are already into licentiousness, you know, or at least supporting licentiousness. They may not be participated in abortion, but they believe everyone has the right for it, and they'll fight for that licentious right. The licentiousness is permission by the beast to do anything that is unlawful by God's law. That's licentiousness. So if you're in that and you love it, and you're, you know, or you're covetous or whatever, you know, which most of the world is 90% are already there, you can see how if 90% are already there, maybe some are holding back a little more conservative, or they believe everyone has rights to religion, whatever. What's it going to take to push them over? Well, we've seen it over and over in history. It will be a very small minority that will back up, like in Germany during the Inquisitions for Jews, to send them off to the ovens or work camps or whatever, and steal all their property. Very few Christians had the guts to help or hide these people that were being sent off. A lot of Christians were sent to the camps because, along with the Jews, because of their stand, or just killed outright or whatever. I mean, it wasn't just Jews that died in World War II. There were hundreds of thousands of Christians that their lives were taking a stand. And Christians are still today. Christians are, again, once again, now the most martyred people on earth. And it is only increasing. So we can see where it's going. I mean, if you can't see where it's going, then I don't know how much more. This is what I taught in my book. Them that had gotten victory, meaning that those who were deceived may repent and recant use and participation in the beast monetary system. Okay, this is contrary to the popular interpretation, which teaches that all who take the mark will be damned by God to the lake of fire, no exceptions. I believe the enemy has implemented this device to breed denial. But I serve a God who is big on forgiveness. His word also says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. But we also understand. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand that if you have lied, that God has forgiven you? If you are part of the elect? If you have repented and you are walking in His kingdom? And you will not depart from His kingdom till death do you part? And it won't even, death is like a graduation in His kingdom. From mortality to immortality, to a place where you will never sin again. You will never even be tempted to sin again. Until then, that hard work of repentance, of being renewed in your mind, to being conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God, that process goes on and on as long as we live in this mortal flesh. But once, you know, we make it to the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved, said Jesus' words. He who endures to the end. What do you have to endure? A lifestyle of repentance. A lifestyle of being conformed to the image of the only begotten God. Of a lifetime of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. Repentance, meaning metanoeo, to change your mind. To conform it, to wash it by the water of His Word. That's what you signed up for when you signed up for God's kingdom, when you repented and you said, okay, I'm yours. You are my King. You are my Lord. I belong to you. You have purchased me with your blood. I am not my own. That's the commitment. And if that isn't it, then you ain't got it. You are not in the kingdom. And you will not be in it when your mortality ends. Then you will be in the lake of fire forever and ever. So it's very important to understand. And that's in the same chapter of the book here, if you read it. The gospel is all through my work. That's what it's all about. It's all about the gospel. It's all about applying it to the day we live in. So you can clearly see where you're at. But it doesn't matter what age you're in. Repentance. It's the same walk. It's the same thing. There's licentiousness. There's temptation to ungodliness and every evil out there. But you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to change your mind, to bring your mind and your thought processes into conformity with God's. And when that happens, when you allow the Holy Spirit to change your mind, it will change your life. If it doesn't change your life, then it hasn't changed your mind. Okay? Because that's exactly what the word repent means. Meta noeo, change. That's the meta part. The noeo, change of mind. And when you change your mind, it will change and you will walk in his kingdom happily, unhappily, through pain and sorrow and suffering, but his joy, a joy that exceeds and exists through anything, will carry you to the very end. He who endures, and because it's an endurance race. You have to finish the race. You have to keep your eye on the prize. That's what it's all about. He who endures to the end. It's not a sprint. It's an endurance race. And you have to stay in the kingdom. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your life, continually changing you, conforming you more and more every day to the image of the only begotten Son. We don't have to become Jesus. We have to become who we are in Jesus, who he wants us to be, who he created us to be in him. The perfect us is what we will attain when that final day comes of our mortality and we enter in and we receive our resurrection bodies. That's the glorious day. That's the great hope of the church. Always has been and always will be. The resurrection of the dead is our hope. None of the raptures are my hope, because I don't want to be disappointed, but the resurrection is sure. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.